You are listening to the 2-Minute Time Warp, 120 seconds of concentrated commentary, because we're all in a hurry.
Hi, I'm Chip, and welcome to 2MTL episode 307, reviewing Nightmare in Silver, Neil Gaiman's latest episode of Doctor Who. Neil Gaiman's first foray into televised Doctor Who, The Doctor's Wife, hewed closely to the authorial voice he's used in comics and prose. It's hard to put a finger on it, but with so much of his stuff, if you're a fan of his work, you can usually hear him reading the text or script in your head, like he literally did for Doctor Who Confidential. Usually. But not always. As Ryan Britt and Chris Luff, or Lau, sorry Chris, no idea how you pronounce your last name, as they wrote at Tor.com, links in the show notes, Gaiman frequently makes his own bubble universe when he's working in shared universes such as Doctor Who, almost literally in The Doctor's Wife's case. When he does something more conventional, such as reestablishing Marvel Comics' characters The Eternals in continuity, or revitalizing the Cybermen, then the Gaiman fans are sometimes left unsatisfied and the shared universe fans are sometimes left confused. And that might have happened here in Nightmare in Silver. My wife, an admitted anti-Moffat partisan, assumed that Stephen Moffat tinkered heavily with this one and left the Doctor's Wife alone, and she was surprised when I told her that conventional fan wisdom had it the other way around. Instead, this is no side story. It's firmly in the ongoing arc of the show, and that reduced Gaiman's ability and probably his desire to be gonzo or lyrical. But this is a Doctor Who podcast, not a Gaiman podcast, so how was the episode? I may feel differently after repeated viewings, but I think this was a good episode that would have been better if the direction and script had meshed more. The performances were strong. Warwick Davis was magnificent. But the direction was almost flippant. Why was Clara not more horrified at the kid's enslavement? Why did the camera almost always hew to the obvious profile when the Doctor's sides were at war? Why were the soldiers so exaggeratedly physically unsuited? There were a few script problems, to be sure. 45 minutes was too little running time for this one. I might have even preferred it expanded into a two-parter. And the Emperor's escape at the end was too neat. Another casualty of the running time? But overall, the positives of this episode more than outweigh the negatives. They include Clara coming into her own as a commanding officer. She'd be a dominating poker player. New Cybermen that break their new series cliches. A performance by Matt Smith that puts the Borg Queen to shame. And an ingenious literal chess match between the Doctor and Mr. Clever. And anyone complaining that the Cyber Doctor shouldn't have had any personality should consider that his performance was all mannerism. No heart. A glib, goofy doctor that's completely dead inside? Now that's scary. And that is 2MTL 307, reviewing the penultimate episode of the series. That's right, it's almost over. We haven't even had a full 2 months worth, and we're about to find out, apparently, the name of the Doctor. We'll talk about that next week. Hopefully, I'll talk to you before then. Hopefully, you'll listen to more episodes of 2MTL at TWOMinuteTimeLord.com or on iTunes or wherever you can find podcasts. And follow me on Twitter or find me on Facebook at Numeral2MinuteTimeLord.com. No, at just Numeral2MinuteTimeLord. Boy, that was a lot.